It seems it was a custom in ancient Israel that when they started teaching Chumash to young children, that they began with Sefer Vayikra. And the theme seems to have been, Yovo Tehorim, V'yasku B'Tehorim. Let those who are pure come and busy themselves with matters of purity. It's also a matter of some interest that one is not allowed to conclude any section of the Torah on a bad note. And although we've raised this question and offered one or two answers in the past, I just wanted to record for you a comment which I found in the Sefer Maor Voshemesh, where he indicates that their custom was that when they came to the end of Vayikra, which ended with the words Li'ashmava, to be guilty thereby, which seems to be on rather a sad note or a bad note, that the whole congregation would rise and would invoke the following statement, Lokel Asher Shovach Mikol HaMaasim Bayom HaShviyi, of which the Ashmava is the Rosh HaTevis. Lokel Asher Shovach Mikol HaMaasim Bayom HaShviyi. This was their custom, in order that the Siddur should not end, as I say, on a sad way. Since the majority of Vayikra and Tzav, the entire Siddurs of Vayikra and Tzav are devoted to the Inyan of Korbonos, it seems appropriate to begin this evening's shiur with one or two comments regarding Korbonos. The first taken from the Meshech Chochmah, which is his Hakdama to Sefer Vayikra. You find it on the right-hand side of the page. And this, by all accounts, is one of the masterpieces of his Perush al HaTorah. I'm hoping we'll have an opportunity to quote him on another occasion during the course of the shiur. Says Meshech Chochmah, Hakadmonim nechleku betam hakorbonos. The Rishonim are already discussing and arguing as to exactly what is achieved by sacrifice. Hamore, the Mora Nevuchim, Omar, he is of the opinion, the Rambam, ki hu laharchik leiv ha'adam me'avoda zora. The Rambam's opinion is crystal clear in the Mora Nevuchim, says the Meshech Chochmah, that the whole purpose of sacrifice is to wean away people from idolatrous worship. You feel in the mood to worship an idol by sacrifice? No. Worship God by sacrifice. The implication being that there is no intrinsic value in the korban. It's merely a negative, a preventative. We don't want you to do A, so do B. So B is the prevention. The Haramban Visiyotho Omru, and the Ramban Nachmanides, and many others who are in agreement with him, he writes, Ki hu lekarev kol hachkochos ha'olomim, that the purpose of a sacrifice is to unite, right, that's Korban, to unite all forces in the universe. And he uses his unusual language to describe the Ramban's thesis, the Hu'inyan Elektri Ruchani, is some type of current which the bringing of the Korban sends throughout the universe, which achieves some desired result. So on the one hand, you have the Rambam, who seems to be suggesting that there is no intrinsic value in the Korban, it's merely of a preventative nature. And then you have the Ramban, who extols the Korbanot and indicates that they are something of a major nature. Asher bepeulos hakohen, says the Ramban, as in the words of the Meshech Chochmah, through the actions of the Kohen, oseg gevolos, he is the korban achieves great things, the olomos shonim, in the various worlds, kayodua, as is well known. So here we have two major views, and the Meshech Chochmah now would like to make peace between these two great rabbis, and to suggest how the Rambam's opinion and how the Ramban's opinion can indeed live side by side. I would now like to suggest that the opinions of Rambam and Ramban may be reconciled in the following way. As I mentioned to you last week, there are two places in which korbanos may be offered. One of them is, of course, the Beis HaMikdash. That is a house which is designated and dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, built in a specific location. Then there is another possibility, and that is the bringing of korbanos on a bama, which is a raised place. And as I mentioned last week, and we'll need to come back to it in a number of ways during the course of this comment, I mentioned that as far as the halacha is concerned, and these are mishnayos at the end of Maseches Zvachim, that once there is a Beis HaMikdash in existence, one is not allowed to offer a sacrifice on a bama. But if there is no Beis HaMikdash in existence, then one is permitted to offer a sacrifice on a raised place anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. Says the Meshech Chochmah, I would like to suggest that when the Ramban speaks about the korbanos having an intrinsic value, and the Rambam speaks about the korbanos being instituted as a preventative measure, they are speaking about korbanos that are brought in different locations. It is the korbanos that are brought in the Beis HaMikdash which achieve this electri ruchani. And if you want to know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu would allow us to sacrifice on any raised place in Eretz Yisrael in those circumstances where sacrifices in such places are allowed, it is merely to wean us away from sacrificing to idols. So therefore, that is what the Meshech Chochmah would like to suggest. Ulai Yesh Lahachriyal, might I suggest as follows. Ki korbanos bama, that the sacrifices which are brought on a raised place, which are usually of a private nature, heim rak laharchik avedazorim milavavos am Yisroel. That permission to sacrifice on high places was instituted only as a preventative measure to prevent Jewish people from being weaned away to idolatrous worship. So since HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want us to worship idols, so therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, if you want to, you can offer a sacrifice on a bama, on a raised place. Lo chein korbanos beis hamigdosh. But this is not the case with the sacrifices which are offered in the temple. Heima vadai lekarev ho'olamos. They are obviously instituted so that we may achieve this union of worlds, ulechaber dodim, and to unite those who are beloved of each other, namely HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. So that is, in a nutshell, the Meshech Chochmah's thesis. The Rambam, who says that the purpose of sacrifice is to wean us away from avodah zarah, is speaking about sacrifices which are offered on bomos. And the Ramban, who speaks glowingly about the intrinsic value of korbanos, is speaking about korbanos which are offered in the Beis HaMikdash. Pass the brackets. Umekor lozeh, and I would like to suggest a source for this distinction. Because there is a Mishnah at the beginning of Perik Chatos, at the end of Zvachim, which tells us that Ein Reach Nichoach Bebomo Ketanof. We know that one of the dominant phrases in korbanos will be Reach Nichoach. Says the Mishnah, when korbanos are brought in a Bomo Ketano, there is no Reach Nichoach whatsoever. The implication being that the sweet aroma, whatever it is that is to be achieved by korbanos in a positive sense, is not achieved on a bama. Ein reach nichoach bebama ketana. Because whatever reach nichoach is, it for sure indicates that the korban is achieving some positive result. If it was merely of a negative nature, for that you don't say reach nichoach. It is pleasing. So therefore, says the Meshech Chochmo, you can notice immediately that when the Mishnah says there is no Reach Licholach and a Bomo Ketana, says Meshech Chochmo, what they are saying to my way of understanding is exactly what I am saying. That one has to differentiate between the purpose for which sacrifices were instituted in the Beit HaMikdash and the reason for which sacrifices were allowed and permitted on Bomos. Hare de Kodesh e Bomo, Heinom le Reach Licholach. So therefore we see that the korbonos which are offered on a boma are not l'reach v'choach. Move down now to the next paragraph. Here we have something majestic. Last week I introduced the thesis of Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen, quoted by Tosfos in Megillah Daf Yud. Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen presents a most perplexing thesis. And the Meshech Chochmo had already offered one answer to that in his comment on the Haftorah of Parshas Pekudei, which we mentioned last week. The problem of Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen's thesis is the following. We have always accepted that it is possible to offer a sacrifice on a boma only if there is no longer a Beis HaMikdash. Once there is a Beis HaMikdash in existence, bomos are out. Bomos are only in when Beis HaMikdash is out. Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen tells us that even though there is no longer any Kedusha on the temple site at this time, and that is a thesis that is agreed on by many Rishonim, some suggest it's even the thesis of the Raivad, who argues with the Rambam, says Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen, even though there is no longer any sanctity on the Mokum HaMikdash, it is nevertheless nowadays absolutely forbidden to offer a sacrifice on a boma. So, as they say, Mamonavshach, if there is no Beis HaMikdash, the boma should be permitted. If there is Kedushas Beis HaMikdash, then why doesn't he say there's a Kedushas Beis HaMikdash? So how does one interpret Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen's opinion? Says the Meshech Chochma, Uvozen is Galilee sold. And with the distinction that I have made, I have now received, it has been revealed to me, the secret. Bameshechidesh Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen de Megillah Daf Yud, because Rabbeinu Chaim says there, Lemandiyomar lo kiddush ol yosid lovo, that even if there are those who agree that there is no longer any sanctity in the site of the Beis HaMikdash, mikol mokom v'boma osur lahakriv. Nevertheless, one can still not sacrifice nowadays on a boma.
Why?
Says Meshech Chochma, I mean, one can weep to see what this man does here. He says very simply, mishum de anshei kenesis hagedola botlinu liyitzro di avedas ora. There is a Gemara in Yoma which tells us that Ezra pleaded with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that two Yetzer Horas should be taken away from our people. In one he was answered positively, and the other request was ignored. He asked that the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah be taken away, and he asked that the Yetzer Hara of Zinus be taken away, of immorality. And in the regard to the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered in the affirmative, but the other Yetzer Hara has been left extant, as was. Says Meshech Chochma, if the whole purpose of sacrificing on a boma is to weed away people from Avodah Zarah, and if from the days of Vayisheni, the days of Ezra, the Anshei Knesset Agadola, there is no longer any Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, so bomos are out, full stop. It's got nothing at all to do with whether there is a Kedusha in the Mokum HaMikdash or not. He says, in pain, if the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah is gone, su ein tzorich lahakriv b'boma. There's no longer any need to sacrifice on a boma. In order to keep people away from Avodah Zarah. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu want them? There's no intrinsic value to the bomber. There's no Reach Nichoach on the carbon. It's only there as a preventative to stop us from worshipping Avodah Zorah. Rat Bishmila Hagdirom Shilo Yakrivo Li Avodah Zorah is in Cain, if that is so. Ki Batla Yitzra Di Avodah Zorah. If the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zorah no longer exists amongst our people, is also the Hakadosh Baruch Hu Bama, QED. That's got to be something about it. It is such a definitive statement in regards to so many Yesodos. First of all, a man who takes it on his shoulders to make shalom between the Rambam and the Ramban, that's number one. And to do so in a way with a Makor from a Mishnah, and then how to bring everything so beautifully into historical perspective. It's a matter of some interest that Reb Tzvi Kalish, or Zecher Tzadik Livracha, one of the great rabbis who was very anxious to promote the return to Eretz Yisrael, and also was one of the great acharonim who was involved in the halachic discussion as to the possibility of restoring the sacrificial rites. And he had a long correspondence with Rabbi Akiva Eiger, Zatzal. It's interesting also to point out, it wasn't merely theoretical, because according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, there will be no korbanos until Mashiach comes, of which we will say very little this evening. According to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and he brings a proof, because first you have Esemach Tovid Avdechom Ehera Sasmiach, that's in that bracha, and only then is it followed by the Hosheves O'Avod O'Lidivir Beisecha. So you've got to have, first of all, Esemach Tovid Avdechom, and then you have the Hosheves O'Avod. Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer said, no, unless you bring korbanos, you're not going to have Mashiach. The order is Korban, Mashiach, and Avodah Beit HaMikdash. Says Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, where do I learn it from? I don't learn it from the Vachadik Shimon Esrei. I learn it from the Shimon Esrei of Musaf for Rosh Chodesh. Mizbeach Chodosh Vitzion Tochin V'yolach Rosh Chodesh Na'aleh Olov U'siyidei Zim Na'aseh V'ratzon U'v'yavodah Beis HaMikdash Nismach Kulon. Only if there is a Mizbeach Chodosh Vitzion Tochin on which we will offer a sacrifice, then and only then will we be zoche to V'yavodah Beis HaMikdash Nismach Kulon. So the Tzvi'ish Kalisha was looking at a way in which he could convince those people who stood against him that it is permissible to bring the korban, to bring korbanos today on the site of the Beis HaMikdash. Now there's problems which I'm not going to go into, questions of Kohen, question of Bigdei Kahuna, Poro Adumo, but we leave that aside. The point that Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer made was the following. If the Rambam says there is a Kedusha in the Mokum Beis HaMikdash, then we can bring a sacrifice on the Mokum Beis HaMikdash out Beis HaMikdash. And if we agree with the Raiva that there is no longer any Kedusha in the Mokum Beis HaMikdash, then we can bring a sacrifice on the site of the Beis HaMikdash as a Bonos. Memonavshach. Either bring the sacrifice because we are bringing it in the temple precincts, or bring it because we are bringing it in a Bomo, and there is no longer any Kedusha Beis HaMikdash, says Diane Waldenberg in Sicily Ezer and Chelek Yud, Simon Hay. But if the Hishkalisher's argument will be refuted by the Meshech Chochma. Because according to the Meshech Chochma, even though there may not be a Kedusha Beis HaMikdash, as Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen suggests, but from the time of Ezra HaSofer, Bomos are out. So this is also part of the same argument. Okay. So that's the first, dare I say it, offering that I wanted to bring in regards to the area of korbanos. Okay. Let's move on now to something which is, again, indicates the tremendous variety and classic style of the Ksav HaKabbalah, which you have just at the bottom of that page. A lot of gorgeous things here in this portion. One of the dominant phrases which are found in the korbanos is Reach Nichoach, which is usually sweet smelling, sweet aroma, depending on which English translation you pick up. There's the Ksav HaKabbalah something very special. Follow him through. And here is a man who has the command of the Tanakh. Heitev Omar Bozeh B'Sefer Maisei Hashem. I believe that the author of Maisei Hashem has made the definitive statement. Masha Nemar B'Korbonot Leach Nichoach L'Hashem. When he has come to explain to us what the words Reach Nichoach L'Hashem mean. And the Sefer Maisei Hashem says the following. Follow carefully. Lo Lisaper Malas HaKorbonot Bo. The word Reach Nichoach, the phrase, is not to indicate the special quality of the offering per se. Ki imaita ho ish umachshavosa. The words Reach Nichoach are to indicate the status of the individual who is bringing the korban. Reach Nichoach has nothing to do with the actual korban itself per se. But the words Reach Nichoach are meant to be a reflection of the situation of the individual who is bringing the korban. What do I mean by that? Says the Ksav HaKabbalah. Ki hamevi korban, because it is well known that a person who brings a korban, lo yachshov, let him be under no misapprehension, shebe korbono levad niskaper avono, that his sin will be forgiven by the mere mechanics of bringing an offering. Not true. Avol yale bedato. He should reflect that korbono eino ki im reach nichoach el mashehu osid la'asos. Let me put it into my words and we'll go back again. Says the Ksav HaKabbalah, a person who brings a korban, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in that korban unless this korban is a premonition, an intimation of better things to come from that man. Unless it is a change of heart. Unless this person is going to improve his ways. That korban is valueless. So when the Torah says that the korban is acceptable only if it is a reach nichoach, the words reach nichoach are meant to mean that the korban is acceptable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu only if HaKadosh Baruch Hu senses in the korban an intimation of maisim tovim to come. That's what Reach Nichoach means. Something quite spectacular. And to tell the individual, the im eino misakein ma'atov, and if he will not correct his deeds, ne'mar olov, then concerning him it will be said, lomo li rov zivchechem, why do I want all your sacrifices? Now you'll ask me, what has this sense of intimation and anticipation got to do with the Loshen Reach Nichoach? Says the Ksav HaKabbalah, the Hushal Elov Yisporach Lishon Reach Nichoach. And the reason why this intimation of things to come is conveyed by the Torah through the words Reach Nichoach, he says, I'll tell you why. Because in the same way, Kika Asher Horeach HaTov HaBo Merachok Al Eid Al Hadov Obi Asmo Heyotso Tov. Because many times, you smell something, and it smells good, and that is the only intimation that you have of whether it is good or not before you actually see it as a physical reality. The aroma which comes forward is the intimation of what is to follow. Kamochein, in the same way, Yehiyeh HaKorban Lifnei Hashem, the korban is only acceptable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu if it is Kimavaser, as something which announces Al Hamasim Hatovim She'ofid Hamakriv La'asos Mikan Vahola. If it is an intimation of those good deeds which the individual is going to bring in the future. And says the Ksav HaKabbalah, you'll say to me, amn't I stretching the Hebrew language a little when I suggest that the word Reach is used in the sense of intimation of future events? Up to know. The Nikro Reach, the reason why the word Reach is used, is because Ki al kol dovor nirgash el hamargish terem bo elov. Because whenever the Tanakh wants to describe an anticipation of some event or something which has as yet not become a physical reality, Yushalo b'lishoneinu l'shon reyach. Then the word used is reyach. As it says in the book of Job, Merochok yoriach milchomo. From afar, he senses war. In other words, the lotion of smell is used in order to imply the anticipation of something which is already intimated by a prior event. The Omar in pain. So what the Torah is saying to the individual is, Kol Hamevi Korban, a person who is bringing a sacrifice, Yitain Dato Lasos Teshuva, he should put it in his mind to do Teshuva, and to draw near to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, add to the extent, Shemei Korban Zeh, from this sacrifice that he is now bringing, Yoreach Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will already sense, Masov HaTovim Sheyaseh Mehayo. Those good deeds which he intends to do from today. This is very, it's gorgeous. The Reach Nichoach, it does not mean that the sacrifice is being looked on in isolation. And we're wondering, is it sweet smelling? Is it not? Says the Ksava Kabbalah, that is not the theme. The theme is, Reach Nichoach, is your korban an intimation of better things to come? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu can sense in that korban the design of your life which is going to ensue from now on. Le'ato v'yadolam. If so, then it's called Reach Nichoach. If not, it's not Reach Nichoach. It's a wonderful, it's a classic Mare Mokum Tah. Okay. What I want to do now, my friends, is what I do not take sufficient opportunity to do. And that is to have a look at a Rashi in depth. After all, when the Ramban begins his introduction to the Torah, he says about Rashi, Lo Mishpat HaBachora, the birthright belongs to that man. So what we have to do is we want to take one Rashi and we want to see exactly what are the gems that we can mine out from it. And I picked a Rashi at the beginning of our Sidra. Vayikro el Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls to Moshe. And it's a Lashon Chiba. Interestingly, the Toras Kehanim says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu called to Moshe Rabbeinu three times. At the Sneh, at Sinai, and at Ohel Moed. Once suggested in an address to Chosen Kala, HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls to us with love on three occasions in our lives. The Sneh, when we are small, to start educating ourselves correctly. The Sinai, when we are Mekabel Mitzvahs, when we become Bar Mitzvah, Bat Mitzvah. And finally, the Yohel Moed, when we come to set up a home, Chosen Kala. Those are the three occasions when HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls to us with a special love, calling upon us to raise ourselves and to dedicate ourselves anew to the new challenge. So I think it's an idea worth mentioning. Vayikro el Moshe, vayidaber Hashem elov, me'ohel mo'ed le'mor, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him from the tent of meeting, le'mor. And Rashi has a problem with the word le'mor, because le'mor cannot mean, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu le'mor to tell the Bnei Yisrael. That cannot be the interpretation of le'mor, because Pasuk Beis begins, so therefore the word lemor is a problem. So therefore Rashi makes the comment as follows. Say the emor lohem divrei kevushin. Go out and say to the Jewish people words of admonition. And tell them the following. Bishvilechem hu nidbari mi. That it is only on your account that God speaks with me. Shekein Motsinu, because we find Shekol Lamed Ches Shona, that during the entire 38 years, Shehoyu Yisrael Bamidbor, when the Jewish people in the wilderness were like Kemenudim, like those excommunicated by God, they had fallen out of favor with HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of the Chet of the Meraglim. Min HaMeraglim Ve'elech, from the period of the Meraglim and onwards for the next 38 years, Lo nisyached hadiburim Moshe. God did not communicate with Moshe Rabbeinu because he, the Bnei Yisrael, were out of favor. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu only speaks with Moshe Rabbeinu because of the Bnei Yisrael. So if they are out of favor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to speak with him. And Vayehi Kashetamu Kol Anshei HaMelchom Olamus, etc., etc. And only after the generation that has sinned with the spies had died out, only then in Dvorim Beis does it say, Vayedaber Hashem Elai Leimor, Elai Hoyo Hadibur. So first of all, let's understand what Rashi is saying. And then we'll have a look at the words. Rashi is suggesting as follows. That since the word Lamor cannot be construed as merely meaning, say to the Bnei Yisrael what I'm going to tell you, because that is already alluded to in Daber el Bnei Yisrael v'yomar to Aleihem, so the Lamor is an instruction that you are to develop another theme for them. So you've got to go out and you've got to say something else to them. That is where Rashi got the idea that you've got to go out and say something which is not mentioned here. But where did Rashi get that the theme that you have to develop with them is related to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only speaks with me on account of you? Where is that? After all, Rashi is only interested in the Pshat. In the Pshat of the Pasuk, where do we find that this particular theme that Moshe Rabbeinu is to say to the Bnei Yisrael, that God only speaks with me because of you, that that's contained in the Pasuk? Where? Says the masculine David something very beautiful. It doesn't say, Vayedaber Hashem Elov Lemor. It says, Vayedaber Hashem Elov Me'ohel Moed Lemor. And if you look at Rashi in Me'ohel Moed, you will see that Rashi understands the pshat of those words to mean the following. That the voice which came to Moshe Rabbeinu was loud, but as soon as it came to the end of the Yohel Moed, nobody outside heard. So you are to speak to the Bnei Yisrael and you are to say to them, I know that you are upset that the voice does not come out and you hear it as well, which is contained in the words Me'ohel Moed. But Lamor, can you imagine how that man feels? And that's called, according to Rashi, Divrei Kavushin. Kavush, so that their heads are buried in the ground from embarrassment. I mean, with admonitions like that, we could live. So what is going on here? Let me draw your attention to a most elegant essay on this theme in the Be'er Yosef, on the left hand. Now people ask, what are you going to speak about a Parshas Vayikra? It's incredible. The question is not what we're going to say, the question is what we're going to have to leave out because we won't have time. The other half of the page is the second part of Rashi, incidentally. We have to understand, says the Be'er Yosef, this expression, Divrei Kevushim, words of admonish. The Omar, when the Rashi says, Sever Molehem Divrei Kevushim, Tahare Lechure Inyan Zehu Shvacham Umalacham Shel Yisrael. These words, the theme that he's now going to go on to say, appear to indicate the elevated status which Israel enjoys. Shirat Vishvilomi, Dabir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. That they are being told that it's only in their zechus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks with the greatest of all men. For who covered with Seferis Lahem. And it's a glory and honor for them. How can you refer to these words that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to me in your zechus as Divrei Kevushim? And the Meforshim have already tackled this question. But I'd like to offer something of my own. The Evshila Havin, I would like to explain why it is in fact an admonition. The first source I would like to bring to you in order to present my ideas to why they are Divrei Kevushin is the Sharei Tshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah. And he writes as follows. Uviros hachoteis. When a sinner notices, ki Hashem yisborach ma'avir avono, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, instead of punishing him, forgives his sin. Umarichlo, and extends favor to him. The einenu niframi menu, and doesn't punish him. Velo kachatov osolo, velo kavonosov gamalolo. And despite what we have done to HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't respond in kind. When the sinner notices that, Yosef busha bilavovo, he becomes increasingly embarrassed.
Hallo hachote le melech bosav adam. I mean, let me give you an example, says the Rabbeinu Yonah. If a person sins against a king, an earthly king, who bogeyed bo and rebels against him, for whom a chaperlo, and the king says, I forgive you. This man is feel so inadequate. Yevosh mimenu. He becomes so embarrassed. Look what I've done. And here, this glorious gentleman here, instead of responding and punishing me, he's so magnanimous. And it makes me feel so inadequate. And if that is how it is in the case of Bosav Adam, what is the case of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And indeed the Pasuk in Yechezkel says, Laman tizkiri, so that you should remember Uvosh and be embarrassed. V'lo yihyeh loch od tizchon teh mipnei kelim aseich. And you will no longer be able to open your mouth because of your embarrassment. And why will you be embarrassed, says Yechezkel? V'chapri loch lechol asher asisa, because I will forgive you. And because I will forgive you and I will not repay like for like, so you will be lost in the midst of embarrassment and shame. So the first thing that we have to notice in the Rabbeinu Yonah is, shame can arise not from being punished, but shame can arise when a person receives, instead of punishment, kindness. Now the second source, says the Be'er Yosef, that I want to draw your attention to, is Agon. The Agon in Shir HaShirim. Follow carefully. And the Gaon in his Perush on Shir HaShirim on the Pasuk, Hinecho Yofe Dodi, behold you are beautiful my beloved, Afnoim and even pleasant, Afarseinu Ranono, our couch is showered with leaves, Koros Botenu Arozim, the beams of our houses are cedar, Rehitenu Berosim, and our panels are of cypress. You and I look at that poster. No, fine, very good. The God looks at the poster, he got something else to say. Said, very good. Kosar v'zehaloshen. The God writes like this. Ushenei pesukim elu. These two verses, yizboaru, can be explained. Al derech shechiknu, if we bear in mind the nusach hakfila, which is well known to all of us. Ahavo rabo ahavtonu Hashem Elokeinu. With a great love you have loved us. And then we go on to say, Hemla Gedola Viseira Chamalto Aleinu. So we don't say Ahava Gedola Viseira. It's Ahava Gaba. Then it's Hemla Gedola Viseira. What are these two separate items dealing with? Says the Gaon, Perush, Demitechila Bimeho Ovux. Originally in the dawn of our nation, at the time of the Ovux. Umoreh say Seinomi Mitzrayim, and at the time of our exodus from Egypt, Hoya Ahavosecho Rabu Aleinu. Your love was great. You took us out with many miracles. And there was a cloud that went before us by day and by night. And the Red Sea was parted. And you gave us the Torah at Hasinai. Ahavo Rabu. V'yachakach. But afterwards, Kisha Osu Ho Egel. After we had made the Egel, or Marta, you then said, Achale Osom Keroga, I will destroy them in a moment. But after that you relented. Chomalto Aleinu, you forgave us. Vistolachto Lavoneinu, and you forgave our sin. Because the word Chemlo is Achar Hakas. That's what comes after being angry. Why does it say Chemlo Gedolo Viseiro? Is it a portion? Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu did things for us, before we sinned, which was the time of the Havo Rabo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah and the Luchos. But after we sinned at the Ego, not only did we end up with the Luchos, we ended up with a Mishkan, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be amongst us, v'shochanti v'socham. So compared to the Havo Rabo that we got before we sinned, after we sinned, we received the Chemla Gedola V'Seira. After we sinned, you gave us even more good than we had received prior to sin. After the Chet HaEgel and you forgave us, you gave us the Luchos. The Tzior and you gave us the entire diagram. La'asot ha-mishkan, to make the Mishkan. Li'hiyaitzach ha-shochein b'neinu, to dwell amongst us. Shelo hoya lona mikodem, which we wouldn't have had we not sinned. Because the command to build the Mishkan was only given according to Rashi after the Chet Ho'egel, and that's obviously what the Gaon concurs with. V'zeh she'oma mitchilo, and that's what the first pasuk means. Hinecha yofer, you are beautiful, refers to our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kodem Ho'egel. And we are saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are beautiful, Hotzei Sonami Mitzrayim, because you brought us out of Mitzrayim, the Kedav Son of the Harsinai, and you brought us near to Harsinai. Avol Kisha Asina Ho'egel, but when we made the Egel, the next part of the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim goes on to say, Af Noim, you were pleasant. In other words, you didn't get angry with us. Af Noim Atolonu, why Shem Ochal Tolonu? Because you forgave us. And you gave us an abundance of good, because you gave us the luchos. And the next phrase in Shir HaShirim says, and our couch is covered with leaves. The couch referring to what has only now emerged after the Chet Ha'egel, namely a house of God where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will live. The couch, Yoshev HaKerubim. Says the Be'er Yosef, let us take these two items together, Rabbi Yehuda and the Gaon. On the one hand, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something for us which is totally, as it were, out of line with what we have done, repaying bad with good, there is an element of shame. And we have a practical observation, an example of that in the words of the Gaon, that rather than be angry with us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the contrary, gave us more good than we would have had originally at Matan Torah. His Nimsol, if he said, drawing these two strands together, Debameh She'om Alehem. So now we understand, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes out to the Jewish people, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, go out and say to them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only speaking to me in your zechus. They are words of embarrassment. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to them, Hisbonenu, understand, and direct your heart, how you are so precious and honored in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it is only on your account who Yoreid Mishmei Shamayim Ho Elyonim Lidaber Imi. He only comes down on your account from the highest heavens to speak with me. The Hoshif, and what has God done to you? He has added on Ahava Alo Ahava Horishon Elohim Uvechem Lo Gedol V'Yisrelochom Al Aleichem V'Rak Bishvilechem Hu Medaber Imi. Not only has he forgiven you, he has given you an abundance of goodness which he would not have given you had you not sinned, apparently. And these are sentiments that go right down into the depths of our heart. And it is sentiments of that nature which will cause people to be embarrassed and ashamed. And we know that whenever there is an abundance of good in response to sin, there is embarrassment from the pasuk in Yechezkel. Nimso, so what we conclude is, to be emes devorim halalu, that these very sentiments, sheyesh behem shvuchom u'malotum u'chavodom shel Yisrael, which are meant to convey how precious we are in the eyes of God, heim divrei kivush. They are themselves the words of embarrassment. Because how low, how inadequate, and how humble we must feel, when instead of responding by punishment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds with a chemla gedola v'seira. Something very, very special. So that's the first part of Rashi. Let's have a look at the second comment. Dovor acher. The next comment. Another interpretation. Say them, Olo hen devorai. Go out and tell them what I want you to tell them, when I'm going to tell you in Pasuk Beis. Vahashiveni, and let me know, im yekablum, if they'd like to keep them. They'd like to accept them. And we find something similar, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu once said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Go down, tell the B'nai Yisrael what I'd like to do, and then please come back and let me know what their response is. And that, of course, was before Matan Torah, by Yoshev Moshe Estivrei Ha'om, and Moshe Rabbeinu brought back the words of the people. So the second interpretation in Rashi is, go out, tell them what I'm going to tell you to tell them, and then let me know, as they say in the vernacular, how it grabs them. Are they in the mood? Do they want it? Do they not? And we know that something similar happened before, that prior to Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the same thing to Moshe Rabbeinu, let me know, and Moshe Rabbeinu brought back their response to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which at that time was positive. I'm not going to go through the whole of Rebbe Belville. Let's just open up our discussion and then we'll have a look at the rest of it Valte. Ubepeinish Rashi Shom Leimor, Sevam Olehem Divrei Kevushin, go out and tell them words of admonishing, and a Dover Acher, another explanation is, Sevam Olehem Dovor Divorai, let them know what I want to say to them, Bahashiveni, and let me know, Im Yekablum, if they will accept them. Kamoshen Emar, as it is said, by Yoshev Moshe, Estivrei Ho'am El Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu at Matan Torah brought back their response. The Hema Teilas Kehanim Shom and the Rashi's comments are both taken from Teilas Kehanim. Two independent interpretations of Lemo. Says the Belvel, Avalechura Divrei HaTeres Kehanim Shirichim Biur. These latter comments in Rashi, let me know what they think. That's an extraordinary statement. Mahayot Torech Lekavolosim El Sishuvosim. Moshe Abu HaKadosh Baruch wants to hear what they think of Kavanas. Do they like the Rambam's chat? What? What is he waiting for? I'm telling them you've got to bring Kavanas. Well, let me know what they think of the whole idea. What sort of a statement is this? Maybe Yoshev Moshe Sivrei Ho'am. And what's the proof that Rashi brings from the fact that there was also a time when Moshe Rabbeinu brought back a response? The horsem, I can understand the response over there. Nitzav Moshe Lisholi Yisraelim Ritzonim Lekavanas Atorim Lo. There, I got a Baruch who says to Moshe Rabbeinu, find out who they want the Torah. But that's something you got to find out. Kamoshin Emar, as the Pasuk says, V'yatoim Shmar Tishmu B'koli, etc. For Hoyot Torah Klisus Yuvasam. And it was necessary to receive their reply. Aval Hocha. But here, the Ma'ir of Vistivuyim, when we're speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving mitzvahs to the B'nai Yisrael, each time HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a mitzvah, as you're going to say to Moshe Rabbeinu, and ask them, what do they think of that one? What sort of a comment? Eizat Torech Yeshi Yekablu, Aleyem Esatzivuyim, Shenitzav Moshe Lahoshivim Yekablu? That's what you call a major catch on Rashi. They seemingly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Moshe Rabbeinu, let me know what their opinion is, or what's opinion got to do with mitzvahs. When it comes to an undertaking, like it was in Har Sinai, do you want it or don't you want it? Fine. But now you got it. You got it, you got to listen. It's not open to negotiation. As I once said in a sermon in regards to something else, they are 10 commandments, not 10 suggestions. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it's all about. Here it seems to be 10 suggestions. There's a velvet. Ulam nira, it appears to me that the following is the interpretation. The Hare Yom Nina Besota Daflama Zion. The Gemara tells us in Sota. Let me just explain to you outside and then we'll have a look. It's only a few more lines I want to look at. The Gemara there says, you remember the Har Gerizim and Har Eval, where Oror and Baruch, and how it was enacted was like this. Although only the orders are printed in the Torah, it went like this. There was first a Baruch Bichlal. They would turn to those on one mountain and say, blessed are they who will keep the Torah. And the people would say, Amen. And they would say, blessed are those who will not shame their parents, Amen. And go through all those as Baruch, and they would all answer, Amen. Then they would turn to Harevah. Cursed are they who will not keep the Torah. That's Bichlal. Amen. Cursed are they who will shame their parents. Amen. So they went through Baruch Bichlal and Baruch Bifrat, and they went through Oror Bichlal and Oror Bifrat. Says the Gemara like this. The Hom Rinam Estate Lama Zayin, who is Baruch Bichlal and Baruch Bifrat, Oror Bichlal and Oror Bifrat, and says the Gemara, the same enactment was on Sinai, and the same enactment was on Arvos Moav. The same item. Now, Shenemar, as it says, Eile Devrei Abris, etc. And you have a total of 48 Kabrisos enacted for every mitzvah. The Cheshbon I'm not going to go into at the moment. Now, Rabbi Shimon Motzi Hagariza Harebal Umachnis Ohel Moed Sheba Midvar. Rabbi Shimon says, no, there were three occasions when we entered into a bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were not Hagrizim, Harebal, Avos Noav, and Sinai. They were Sinai, Avos Noav, and Ohel Moed. On three separate occasions did we negotiate a covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in regards to observing the Torah. Says the Velvel, now we understand. Because this is the beginning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu addressing Bnei Yisrael in the Ohel Moed. And what he is asking for a response to is not a response to the Kavanos. He's asking for a response to the bris which was enacted between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael in Ohel Moed, according to Reb Shimon. That's why there are two opinions of what Lamar means. Because according to the other rabbi, that there was no bris in Ohel Moed, you're not asking for any opinion at all. They were straight mitzvos, and for mitzvos you don't have opinions. So the machlokes between whether Ohel Moed was one of the places where a bris was enacted between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael, that is the difference between the two opinions in Rashi. The second opinion is obviously the opinion of Rabbi Shimon that there was a bris enacted, and therefore in the same way as by Yosef Moshe, that Moshe Rabbeinu brought back word from the Bnei Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Sinai before that bris was enacted, likewise he had to bring back a similar report to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Ohel Moed before that bris was enacted. But according to the first man, the Yomer, who says there was no bris enacted and Ohel Moed, he has to give a different interpretation of Lamar. What I want to do now, we're approaching near our time, but I'm going to go over a little bit, with or without your permission, for the following reason. There is a little story. After all, Litvaks also have Chassidish Amaitelech. I'm going to tell you a little story, and we're going to read it in a moment. I want to show you something which is genius. Let's move for a moment, only a moment or two. Perek Hay, Pasuk Zayin. The material is too gorgeous for words. The earlier part of Perek Hay says, if a person sins, by accident of course, not willfully, so he brings an animal, a chatos behema. Okay. Par for the course. The imlo stagia yodo deise, and if the gentleman cannot afford an animal, the hevi esach shomo asher chato, so he brings as a sin offering, stay sorim, o shenei v'nei yonah. Two pigeons, two turtle doves. I mean, the poor fellow's poor. What's he bringing two for? And we then go on to say, and if he can't afford that, so he brings a bit of flour. So what's he bringing two for? He can't afford a behemoth. He can't afford one behemoth, so you bring two earthers. So there is a comment of the Ibn Ezra here, at the very end of his comment, which begins, Vimlo Sagia Yodo Deis, Pasuk Zion. The Omer Reb Avram, that's the Ibn Ezra. Kitam Echod Liyela, why if he's bringing one bird for a chatot, he has to bring another bird for an ola too? You know why? Listen carefully, my friend. Says the Ibn Ezra. You know what happens to a chatos? When you bring a chatos, a behema, so part of it is burnt on the altar, and part of it is eaten. The kohanim eat part, and the... Through that, the person who brought the chatos atoned. Says the Ibn Ezra, I've got to tell you a secret. If you bring one bird, there's not enough to go down. If you give the Kayan his bit, and you'll be sure he wants his bit, so there's nothing left to burn on the altar. Says the Ibn Ezra, so that's why if he can't afford chatos behema, so he brings an oaf for a chatos, which means that's the one that the Kohen gets. But there's got to be some burnt on the altar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the olah, oath. That's the oath which is going to be then sacrificed as a burnt offering, as part of his korban chatos. So you and I look at the Ibn Ezra, and we say to ourselves, the Ramban says, v'yofo pireish. Got to be one of the exceptions, because the Ramban usually goes at the Ibn Ezra when he is a little upset with him. And here the Ramban says, v'yofo pireish. Let's open our sheet. Hakdama l'sefer Mekor Boruch. As they say in the classics, let me tell you a little story. This is the story. This Ibn Ezra, my friends. The author of Mekor Boruch is a Rabbi David Goldberg, Zatzal, who lived at the time of the Meshech Chochma. And there is an introduction to that sefer by a gentleman who's not the author. And in the introduction, he gives a little story about Rabbi David Goldberg, who went to visit the Mersim Chakoyim Midvin, the Meshech Chochma. Let's read. I would now in this Hakdama like to give you over what I heard from Rav David Goldberg when he visited Rav Meir Simcha in Dvinsk. He found Rav Meir Simcha was absolutely in an ecstatic mood, and he was walking on air. The Omalo, and he said to Rav David Goldberg, the Meshech Chochma said to Rav David Goldberg, Shezeh aton ischadish lo dobo niflo le'amisa shel Torah. But a moment or two before, an hour or so before, he had been mechadish something which is the emes of Torah. Buchashinis namneim ketzas, psachasidish amai. When he fell asleep, this is like Rav Meir Simcha. Roa b'chalomo, the Rav Meir Simcha, after he was mechadish it, he saw in a dream, the familiar Shalmala, that in the heavens, Yoshim called Gedoli Olam. All the big rabbis are sitting there. We'll find out exactly who they are when we get there. And they are discussing the following. And they're saying, you know, a leide, the popular Yiddish word, unfortunately nowadays, down there, 20th century Europe, they don't know how to learn like we used to learn. The Omar, this is stuck in a dream. The Omar Horashbozal, the Rashboz stood up in that gathering. The Omar and said, Shebidvinsk Yoshev Rav Echad Velomeid, the Chivain El Ha'emes Yeshemimani. What do you say? The Rashboz is standing in that gathering and he is saying, you can't say that. Because in Dvin, there is a man who is sitting and learning, and he is mechavin to the emes more than me. Now, what did the Rashba mean? Says Rav David Goldberg, the Meshech Chochma, then went on to explain what the Rashba meant. Vizehu, it was for the following reason that the Rashba made his comment. Shebet eshuvas for Rashba, simen reish ayin vav. In the response of the Rashba, Nishal, he was asked concerning the language, the text of the Gemara in Chulin, page 22. Concerning these two ophos, the Chatos ho'oth and the Olas ho'oth, right, which come for the Oni in place of the Chatos behemoth. Says the Gemara there, the Olas ho'oth eino bo elo bayom ke Chatos behemoth. And the Gemara says, we compare the olas ho'oth that the Oni brings as part of his korban chatos to the chatos behema which the osher brings because of his chatos. And in the same way as the osher brings his korban chatos only by day, so therefore we learn from chatos behema that you can only bring the olas ho'oth by day. The Oni can only bring the olas ho'oth by day. Says the Gemara, what are you talking about? Umakshi, the Gemara asks, by yom? He can only bring it by day. You have to learn that from comparing the Olas ho'oth to Chatos behema. That we learn from the words mi beyom savoso. And those two words which are written in regards to korbanos are an indication that whenever you bring a korban, it can only be by day, beyom savoso. So you don't need to tell me that you can't bring it. You can only bring an Olas ho'oth The Adi can only bring an Eilas HaOuf by day because it's compared to Chatas Behema. He can only bring an Eilas HaOuf by day because the Pasuk says, B'yom Savo So. Answers the Gemara. So, Kedatech Amina. No. You're wrong. I might have thought, Hani Milech Chatas HaOuf. Avol Ola HaOuf Eimalo Kamashmalo. Allow me to explain. Says the Gemara. Had we only had Chatos HaOuf, I understand that we would know you can only bring by day from the words V'yom Savoso. But had I not had the comparison with Chatos Behema, I might have thought that the second part of his korban, the Olas HaOuf, could be brought even by night. And therefore you have to bring the comparison with Chatos Behema. So they asked the Rashba, why should the Olas HaOuf, why should there be a Hav Amina that the Olas HaOuf can be brought by night, for which reason I need to compare the Chatas Behema? You can't bring Korbonus at night. It's an Irish sight. Says the Rashba, V'tzetamua, Z'yech Yale Ladas, Shetaheye Kishtera Balayla. I mean, it's an Irish sight to say that it was a Hav Amina. You might have thought you could bring the Olas HaOuf by night, and that's why you have to compare the Chatas Behema. And the Rashba writes, the Girsa Mishuvetesi. The text is incorrect. The Yeshlamocha, you've got to cut out that entire section of the Gemara. Some food, put it in. Says the Meshach Chachma, no sorry. Ola for oath that is brought by the poor man. Why are there two oaths brought by the poor man? Surely one would have been sufficient. The answer, says the Ibn Ezra, is because one is to make sure that the Kohen gets his, and the Olas HaOuf is in order that it be burnt on the altar. So the whole purpose of the Olas HaOuf is so that it may be immediately burnt on the altar. Als Emurim. Had it been a Korban Chatos, then the part that is given to the Kohen is one thing, and the Emurim, the various limbs, which are to be burnt from the Chatas Behema, would be burnt on the altar. But you don't have a Behema, so the Olas HaOuf is in place of the Emurim. The Halacha says that even though a Korban may be brought during the day, Emurim may be burnt at night. And since the whole reason why the Olas HaOuf is being brought is in order to become the Emurim, because there isn't enough to go round, that is why there was a Hava Amina that since the Olas HaOuf is only in place of a Murim, that the Olas HaOuf could have been even shechted by night. And that is why you have to compare it to Chatas Behema in order to indicate that it is not so. And the Rashba said, that's the man. He was Machaven to the Yemes Yosef Mimini. We'll leave it over here just to mention to you that next week, Amir Sashem, we've had a look at Korbanos. Next week, we'll have a look at Purim. If you want to bring along your Megillah Esther, we'll offer some insights then, Mirza.